Okay, welcome back to our Experience Shabbat Shir. And this week we are discussing the mystical connection between Lag BaOmer and Shabbos, obviously because it is Lag BaOmer this evening. And just before we begin, I'm sure many of you heard about what happened in Israel in Meron. There was a horrible accident, stampede or something of sorts. I don't fully know all the details, but a lot of people were killed and a lot of people were injured. So the Torah we share this evening should serve as an aliyah for those neshamos that perished, and as a refuah for those who were injured. So in honor of this evening being Lag BaOmer, so I thought we would take some time to really try to discuss what, if any, are the potential connections between Shabbos and Lag BaOmer. And sometimes, you know, maybe you can say Shabbos is certainly not connected to everything, so, you know, it could be that Lag BaOmer just has nothing to do with Shabbos. However, the more you dig into the topic and into the sugya, you find that there is a real deep connection there, and it's sort of hard to fully put your finger on. We'll see towards the end that there is a pretty strong connection, but hard to really define what that is. But at first glance, truthfully, there should be none whatsoever, right? Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the Omer. We just counted tonight in Shul. It's basically just the 33rd day between Pesach and Shavuos. Should have nothing to do with Shabbos whatsoever. But nonetheless, as you will come to see throughout our shir tonight, there are weird and odd connections, maybe quasi-relations or quasi-no relation whatsoever. So let's just jump in and try to understand first what Lag BaOmer is all about, and by doing that, try to understand if there is a connection between Lag BaOmer and Shabbos. So we begin our conversation by quoting the Nitei Gavriel of Gavriel Tziner, who explains famously, what are some of the reasons explanations of what Lag BaOmer is actually all about? Because, of course, from the Torah's perspective, Lag BaOmer is just as valuable as Lab BaOmer and La BaOmer and Lad BaOmer, right? All the days of the Sfira, in theory, all have the same value. What makes Lag BaOmer so special? So it seems to have been a very strongly developed custom over the years. Here's what the Nitei Gavriel says. Bayom Lag BaOmer marbim ketzas besimcha. This is a day in which we are meant to add a little bit of happiness. Lezecher tamidi Rabbi Akiva shem mesu bein Pesach la'atzeres upasku lamus ba'uso yom. So the most famous explanation probably is the fact that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students that died during this time period. Very famously, that's why we have many of the practices of mourning. They stop dying on Lag BaOmer, and therefore, not only do we stop our mourning practices on Lag BaOmer, but we also have a little bit of extra happiness on this day. And also, Rashbi, who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who from here on out we will refer to as Rashbi, because it's just easier to say. So this is his yurtzeit. He died on Lag BaOmer. And also on Lag BaOmer, he revealed the secrets of the Torah, which many have come to understand that means that he gave over the Zohar on this day. It's a tremendous debate amongst academics of whether or not this is actually true, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the author of the Zohar. Regardless of whether or not that is technically true, the idea is that he revealed much of the Torah's Hanistar, most of the hidden Torah, and that evidently took place primarily on Lag BaOmer. The Ode Shabo Bayom Hisnich Rabbi Akiva Chamisha Talmidim Obeinahem Rashbi. Also, after Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 students, he then established five new students who ended up being five great Gedolim. One of these five rabbis was Rashbi, and this was the day that he gave them smicha. And then finally, ve'od zecher leman shabo bayom hischil laredes lebnei Yisrael hayotzeim et mimitzrayim. We know, of course, the Jewish people ate man when they were in the desert, and evidently the man started to fall on Lag BaOmer of all days, which therefore gives it an additional level of significance. There is one other idea that I did find, and that is that specifically it's on this day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son are hypothesized to have exited the cave, right? We'll quote the very famous story of when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave with his son for 13 years, and supposedly the day they exited the cave was on Lag BaOmer as well. All of these reasons seem to link to this extra special majesty and beauty to this 33rd day of the Omer. Now, there are two things that stick out more than the rest of the reasons, and I would like to focus, therefore, on two of them. Number one is Rashbi. For whatever reason, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has become an incredibly important figure for us. Not that he would not be not that he shouldn't be important, but unclear at face value why he is more important than any of the other Tanaim, right? We don't have Rabbi Akiva Day, and we don't have you fill in the blank day, but the Rashbi, he has his own day. It's called Lag BaOmer. We celebrate, commemorate his Yahrzeit. We celebrate all that he added to the world. So let's focus on the Rashbi for a little bit, and then towards the end, we'll just say a few words on the fact that months started to fall this day, because of course, for those of you who have been with us since the very beginning, we know that Mun is incredibly linked to Shabbos, and that Mun is representative of the Lechem Mishnah. We have two loaves of bread on Shabbos because of the fact that we got a double portion of Mun on Friday for Shabbos because the Mun didn't fall. So clearly, if there is any connection between Shabbos and Lag BaOmer, it might be linked to the Mun as well. So let's begin, however, from the most well-known Lag BaOmer source, and that is the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, of all places, in Andaf Lamed Gimel, right? So on the 33rd page in Maseches Shabbos, many people point to the fact that it's not a coincidence that the Lag BaOmer story appears on page 33, and not just on page 33. In any Gemara, but in the Gemara of Shabbos. So we're not going to read through it because it's a very lengthy story. But essentially what happens is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai needs to flee from the Roman government. They are after him. They want to kill him. And he therefore finds a place to hide. And he ultimately comes to this cave. He and his sons sit in this cave. And they realize that they can't have any connection to the outside world. If they were to have any connection to the outside world, maybe someone accidentally or forcefully would come to give over where they are located, and that would not be good for them. So they just decided to say, no one's allowed to come to us, no one can find us, we will somehow be sustained on our own. And very famously, they stayed in this cave for 13 years, and they learned Torah every second of the day, and they were sustained physically by a carob tree that was there. Then they finally left the cave because they were told by Eliyahu HaNavi, of all people, that certain emperor who said off with their heads, he had died. So the decree evidently died along with them. So Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to them, and they were told they could leave the cave. They left the cave, and what do you know? They were so holy, whatever this means. It's not so common that you find a story that one of our Tanayim had superpowers, that he was like Superman with laser vision, but he comes out of the cave and he opens his eyes, he and his son, and everything burns before them because they're so furious that people in the world want to do anything other than learn Torah. He saw people working in the field, and that was so infuriating to him, he couldn't stand it, and all of a sudden a voice comes out from heaven. Again, on what level we are meant to understand the literal analysis of the story is unclear, but a voice comes out from heaven that says, "Well, you guys came out of the cave to kill my creations. Go back into the cave." So they went back into the cave for another year, and when they came out of the cave, there's this unbelievable moment in the story, again, a connection between Rashbi and Shabbos, in which it was almost Shabbos. They came out on a Friday afternoon, it was a few minutes before Shabbos, and they saw an older gentleman, and he was holding different types of branches and the like, and they asked this man, Rashbi and his son said, "Why do you have these things?" And he said, "I have these branches that I'm holding in honor of Shabbos." And the Rashbi and his son all of a sudden made it the complete 180. No longer did they disrespect people who were involved in reaping and things like that to pull off branches, but they respected other individuals, and specifically they respected this individual because he was collecting branches in order to make his Shabbos more beautiful, and they said how great it is that the Jewish people love mitzvot so much, so who cares? They're not learning Torah as much as they maybe should, but nonetheless, they are so excited about all the mitzvot. So not only is this story found in Maseches Shabbos, which again, there seems to be some relevant link there to the day of Shabbos itself, but also the story is incredibly linked to Shabbos, in that the major conclusion is that we find the Rashbi is applauding the Jewish people for how much they love and desire to celebrate the day of Shabbos. So, What, therefore, is the connection between this story and Maseches Shabbos? So there's a beautiful sefer that I bought a few years ago. You know, it's always nice to have at least one sefer on every single holiday. And it's easier to find a sefer on Pesach and Shavuos and all the well-known holidays. But it's not so easy to find, it's possible, but it's not so easy to find a sefer on Lag BaOmer. But a few years ago, I was in a Sfarim store, and I didn't know about many Sfarim at that point for Lag BaOmer. I still don't know that many Sfarim about Lag BaOmer. But there was one sefer that I found was called Kedai Hu Rebbe Shimon, all about Lag BaOmer and various assorted connected attributes of the day. And the sefer, I was looking throughout it trying to find some ideas of what to speak about tonight, and lo and behold, it asked the same question. Why is this story of the Rashbi that is known as the epitome, the paradigmatic Lag BaOmer story, why is it placed in Maseches Shabbos? What is the connection between this story and Maseches Shabbos? And he brings up a number of ideas which we'll summarize right now. And number one, he explains that there's an idea in the Zohar that's brought down, which again, according to the Kabbalistic world, the classical idea was that Rashbi wrote the Zohar. Whether or not that is true, factually, not for right now, but we're told that he likely wrote the Zohar. And the Zohar makes the point that the Rashbi epitomized Torah's Hanistar. That is to say, that all of those aspects of the hidden Torah, the mystical aspects of the Torah, that are not, you know, sort of directly there in the text of the Torah itself, or in the text of the Gemara, but, you know, the more loftier ideas, the Rashbi epitomized what Torah's Hanistar was, what it was all about, and the knowledge of these ideas as well. The Sefer also points out that Shabbos, the day of Shabbos, on the seventh day of every single week, is a day in which we are supposed to learn Torah's Hanistar. Shabbos is a day in which we're supposed to learn some of the more mystical components of Torah. And therefore, there in and of itself, we find that how perfect is it to have a connection between Rashbi and Shabbos? If Rashbi epitomizes Torah's Hanistar, the hidden aspects of the Torah, and the hidden aspects of the Torah are meant to be learned on Shabbos, so there's a clear connection there. And he goes even further, and he explains that Shabbos is a day that you have to sanctify through what, of all things? Through wine. And wine is also connected to the Torah Sinister, to the hidden aspect of the Torah, because of the well-known idea that Nichnas Yayin Yotzei Soda, when a person drinks and ingests wine, the secrets come out. And therefore, we're told, or we're taught, and we come to understand, that if a person is meant to sanctify Shabbos, they actually sanctify it through those sodos, through those secrets, and the secrets are the Torah Sinister, the hidden Torah. Ultimately, we also find that the Rashbi is given a nickname in various aspects of the Holy Sfarim, and that is that his nickname, or he's referred to as Shabbos. His name, his essence, is all about Shabbos, likely linked to the fact that he was all about Torah Sinister, and he actually learned the Torah Sinister not just on Shabbos, but he learned it all 6 days of the regular week, which means like every day was kind of like Shabbos for him. Anyways, because of all these sort of collected details, that's why it is so perfect, according to the Sefer, for this story, the story of Rashbi, to be placed in Maseches Shabbos, because there is a clear connection between Shabbos and the Rashbi, and therefore Lag BaOmer and Shabbos as well. With this in mind, we are clearly beginning to understand that there is a serious connection between Shabbos and Rashbi, and therefore Shabbos and Lag BaOmer, right? Because again, if Lag BaOmer is a day all about the Rashbi, and Rashbi is all about Shabbos, then ergo Shabbos and Lag BaOmer are intrinsically connected. And then Asiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, brings down the following idea as well. I'll read for you the text. It's not so long, and it's really meaningful. He says as follows: Umam od gedola v'niskabad drega soham yuchedes shel hayom hakadosh hazeh kediisa besfarim hakadoshim shehu bebechinas matan Torah shel Torah Sinister. He says, you want to know what's so special about Lag BaOmer? The day itself is a representative of Matan Torah. We know that we're counting down or counting up to Matan Torah, to when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah Shebechtav, the written Torah. However, Lag BaOmer evidently is meant for us to be viewed as the day of the giving of the Torah's Hanister, the day of the giving of the hidden Torah. To kemo shekabala satorah shel Torah's hanigla haya aide Moshe Rabbeinu, kach aide Rashbi neskala chilak Torah kadosh hakadoshim shel Torah's Hanister. evidently, he brings down this idea as well, that the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu is somehow intertwined in the soul of the Rashbi. Again, these ideas are way beyond my pay grade, but the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu was somehow inside the soul of Rashbi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who accepted the regular Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Nigda, the revealed Torah. He accepted it on behalf of the Jewish people and gave it to us, and the Rashbi was the one who accepted the Torah Hanistar, the hidden Torah, and gave it over to the Jewish people as well. And evidently, Lag BaOmer is a day in which, like, the inner essence of the Torah is sort of shining on this day. And everyone has the potential and the ability to gain from the holiness of this day, and to truly receive and internalize in their hearts the hidden secrets of the Torah, from which ultimately we derive all of our life, right? So if the Torah Shebichtav is the life source, if learning the written Torah and learning the oral Torah, if that is our life source, then how much more so is the hidden Torah, on which all of those other aspects of the Torah stands on, how much more so is the Torah Sanister, the hidden Torah, valuable? Kemo shekabal hi biyadeinu shetoras ha'ari hakadosh haya pirish letoras rashbi v'kein adar. Okay, so let's not go any further, but the point is that on Lag BaOmer we celebrate the giving of the hidden Torah, and that is because the Rashbi is the one who gave us, or who I guess received the hidden Torah, because he is like the Moshe Rabbeinu, who Moshe Rabbeinu is again the one who received the revealed Torah. Rashbi is the one who received the hidden Torah. There are many additional aspects that are worthwhile to discuss about who the Rashbi was, and actually there's a book, I don't know if everyone here is familiar, but there's a book called this. I can't really say it. It's called The Sages by Binny Lau. Highly recommend it. It's a 4-volume book. But in the 3rd volume, he discusses the Rashbi, and he quotes from the Medrash, from the Mechilta de Rashbi, one specific story that I thought was very worthwhile to read. So I'm going to read it for you. It says as follows: "For God said the people may have a change of heart when they see war and return to Egypt. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, if I bring them into the land of Israel now by the direct route, they will immediately begin seizing the fields and vineyards, and they will neglect the study of Torah. Rather, I will make them wander the wilderness for 40 years, and they will eat manna and drink well water, and the Torah will have time to take root in their bodies." Based on this, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would say, the Torah was given to be expounded only by those who eat manna. Like them are those who eat the priestly offering. So this matters. Shows a fascinating idea. Normally, the classical understanding of why the Jewish people were in the desert for 40 years is because they sinned with the Chet HaMeraglim. The spies spied out the land, and they had 40 days that were all sinful days, and so they had 40 years to atone for each year, for each one of those terrible days that they had. However, the Medrash explains, based on the Rashbi's teaching evidently, that the Jewish people had to be in the desert for 40 years because they needed that time to internalize the Torah. Why? Because as Rabbi Binny Lau explains in this book, and as we've come to understand about the Rashbi in general, that he is an individual who was kulo Torah. His entire life was all about learning Torah in a way that many of us may, by the way, may not agree with. That every aspect and every essence and every minute and moment of his day was meant to be filled with Torah, and he believed that only people who were learning Torah to the fullest extent all the time, that was the most proper and ideal way for a person to live their life. It is also interesting to note that even though the fact that the Rashbi was someone who believed that learning Torah all the time was the way to live their life, he is also brought down as being one of the most lenient poskim, one of the most lenient rabbeim throughout all of the Gemara. And the explanation seems to be that ultimately the Rashbi was, as we said at the beginning, Rashbi was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who epitomized v'ahavtal areich kamocha, that one should love everyone who was around them. So perhaps the Rashbi's perspective, if we want to synopsize in a very, very short way, it's that he believed in learning Torah all the time, but he also believed that Judaism should be able to be approached by anyone, and that everyone should be accepted into Judaism, that there should not be any barriers to entry. If someone can't learn the whole day, if someone does not know everything about Judaism, that's okay, because everyone should ultimately still strive to be a part of it. So even though he strove for himself to be the most strict in terms of learning every second of the day, for other people he paskened in general more leniently, and his opinion is therefore not, more often than not followed in the Gemara, because he has such a lenient approach on so many things. And as a result of that, we see that even though for himself he was strict, for everyone else, he wanted everyone to feel welcome and accepted into Judaism. With all of that said, we'll conclude with just a few final ideas. One is an additional connection between the Rashbi and Shabbos, and that is a Gemara in Me'ilah, of all places. The Gemara in Me'ilah, on Yud Zayin Amad Aleph through to Yud Zayin Amad Beis, explains that there was a gzer, there was a decree that was made, that Shabbos was not to be kept by the Jewish people. They were no longer allowed to keep it. And after a series of back and forth discussions, it was decided that who was going to be the number one person to convince the government to allow the Jews to keep Shabbos once again, to nullify this terrible decree. Of course, it was Rashbi, if you've been paying attention, because of the connection between Rashbi and Shabbos, it would be obvious that he'd be the one to be chosen. The reason why the Gemara gives that they sent Rashbi, why they sent Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is because miracles always happen with him. He was a miraculous individual. He was known to have incredible things happen around him. So if anyone was going to be able to turn the tide over here and allow the decree of not keeping Shabbos to be overwritten, it would be him, and of course he went, and as a result of his actions, Shabbos, the decree to not keep Shabbos was ripped up, and the Jewish people were able to keep Shabbos once again. Okay, so with all of this said, we see that there is a clear connection between the Rashbi and Shabbos, whether it's because of the fact that the Rashbi represents the hidden Torah, and the hidden Torah is meant to be learned on Shabbos, and the Lag BaOmer itself is a day that is all about the hidden Torah, or whether it's because there are so many statements and stories and times and Shas in the Gemara in which we find Rashbi is connected with Shabbos. There is a clear connection between Rashbi and Shabbos, and therefore there's a clear connection between Lag BaOmer and Shabbos. I did, however, promise that I would make some sort of a mention of the Mun as well, and ultimately we therefore understand that Lag BaOmer is clearly connected to Mun, as we said at the beginning, and Mun is deeply connected to Shabbos, as we mentioned the aspect of Lecha Mishnah, as Lecha Mishnah comes from Mun itself. So therefore, again, the fact that the Mun started to fall on Lag BaOmer, you would come to understand that if Mun is connected to Shabbos, and Mun is connected to Lag BaOmer, then, right, that's some sort of a logical math equation. If A equals B and B equals C, then it means A equals C, or something like that. So that means Lag BaOmer and Shabbos have to be connected as well. We therefore, with all of that said, it's sort of confusing and a lot of back and forth, but with all of that said, Lag BaOmer is connected to Rashbi, it's connected to the hidden Torah, it's connected to Mun, and in all of these ways it is also therefore connected to Shabbos as well. And we therefore go into this Lag BaOmer, it's already Lag BaOmer tonight, and we are thinking of this day as a day in which we received the Torah Sanistar, the hidden Torah. We should use this special Lag BaOmer Erev Shabbos to prepare for, God willing, a very special Shabbos. A Shabbos in which we can connect to Hashem and connect to one another, connect to the Torah on an even deeper level, to internalize the Torah's Hanistar, perhaps, to learn some of the more mystical aspects of the Torah, and ultimately Hashem should bless us with the ability to form an even deeper and more special connection with Him, His Torah, and all of those around us. I wish everyone a beautiful evening, a beautiful Lag BaOmer, a wonderful Shabbos, and be well, everyone.